We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You're listening to the Orange Power Podcast, a product of Oklahoma State Athletics. Here are your hosts, Jessica Morey, and the voice of the Cowboys, Dave Hunziker.
Happy to have you with us as we get ready for week three for Oklahoma State and a road trip to Boise State. And it's interesting, we knew going into the year that there was going to be some things that were new, players that were new, et cetera, et cetera. But there's probably been more that's been new and different than you would have anticipated. So how impressed have you been with the adaptability of your players to be able to adapt and sometimes do it on the fly without too much turnaround?
The character of our team and the culture that has been created here that they're carrying on has been very important up through this point in the season. We've had an unusual start with games, and then unfortunately we've had an unusual start with young players that are competing on offense again this year. And our guys have adapted. The veteran players have worked with the younger players to help them along. And the young players have to grow up fast, not just mentally. We talk a lot about mentally, but it's physically. The wear and tear of college football and playing in games and the speed of the game and the force with which the game's played with. All those things factor in and are much different.
As far as your special teams go, a kickoff return for a touchdown against Tulsa turned out to be the game-winning play. Pro Football Focus shows Oklahoma State is the top special teams unit in the country. But one thing you've talked about is giving the twos and threes more work. Right. And it looks like perhaps you would say in the special teams that's where it's also reaped its benefit?
I think so. We've had a number of guys that have not been on the two deep that are helping us in special teams, and they've gotten a considerable number of reps in the spring and in August. So maybe it's not particularly driven at a special team position, but if you're playing the speed of the game, you're out there, you're playing on offense, playing on defense, you're getting adjusted to college football, it has to help and contribute when you're running down or to cover a kick or a punt or blocking for a return. And then we've got good returners. You know, we talked early in the year that as long as we had 80 helping us, number one helping us, you have seven, you have zero. Those guys that can return kicks and punts automatically make you a better special teams coach. And so fortunately, we've had those guys help us up to this point.
Spencer Sanders made some big plays for you, both passing and running. He had a couple of big runs in the fourth quarter. Obviously, he missed week one. So what happens, even with an experienced quarterback, how do things improve, and what areas do they improve that first game they've played and once they get to the second game? What happens?
Well, we know where Spencer's strengths are, and he's a threat when he touches the ball. He can turn a 4 or 5 yard gain into a 30 or 40 yard gain real quick. So he has to be able to carry the ball. That's a strength of his. And then he hadn't had enough reps this year to make a determination based on facts on his advancement in the throwing game. Mm-hmm. I think he's more advanced than he was last year, but we need to wait 2 or 3 games here and let's see what happens before we all of a sudden just say that he's gotten to that point. So he's definitely a weapon for us, and we have to use him as much as possible in the games.
What have you liked most about what the defense has done the first 2 games?
We haven't given up a lot of big plays. We've had pressure on the quarterback other than for about 12 minutes in the Tulsa game. We were pretty active with the quarterback. We've tackled pretty well. We're going to work. We did work this week on – we got close a lot of times to the quarterback last week and we let him slip out. We could have had 3 more sacks and we let him slip out, and twice he ran for over 15 yards when he slipped out. We practiced some on that. But we've been in good defensive position. We've played pretty good man coverage when we've asked our guys to play man coverage. Each week, I think the test is more difficult. Boise's got a couple guys out there that are real athletic and run and make plays, so covering them man will be more of a challenge than what we faced last week. But overall, we've been healthy, which allows us to have depth, which allows us to practice the way we need to practice to get ready to play in a game.
Given what's occurred on offense, specifically with the injuries, but also given the fact that your defense is so experienced, how important is it for the offense and defense to be in sync? I guess the term sometimes it's used is let your defense win games. Well, I don't know that that's necessarily the accurate way to say it, but do you how important for this team is it for them to be in sync, again, given what you're dealing with on offense right now?
Each week, we have to decide on paper, is their defense as good as, not as good as, or better than our offense? Mm-hmm. And we have to do the same thing on the other side of the ball. Then we have to decide how we want to attack the game based on where we're at on paper. And the best illustration is, I think Coach Sutton in basketball would say if he was ever playing a team that he thought was better than him, he wanted to travel up and down the court as few times as possible.
Yes.
So we have to do that some in football based on offensively or defensively. Now, our defense can't control the tempo, but our offense can. So we just have to measure, is it best for us to get a maximum number of plays, which, you know, for us could be 85, or a minimum number of plays, which could be 60, based on the matchups each week.
How fast do you think Boise wants to play offensively? For example, in the UTEP game, they hit a lot of things really fast, and early in the game, they were going at a pretty good clip. What do you feel like their approach will be for this game? Do they want to play fast, a little bit of regular tempo and up-tempo? What do you think?
In my history, teams that play with tempo some want to play all the time. They want to play fast all the time. So when I watched a little bit of the Central Florida game they played on TV, I could tell they were trying to play with tempo. And then as I watched it and then see the next game, to me it looks like they want to play with tempo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to move fast, and they try to create confusion with different sets, formations, motions, shifts, things like that to try to get you out of alignment to get a big play. They run the same basic run principles for the most part, but they use a lot of different window dressing to get to it. So tempo, in my opinion, would only work with the concepts that they've had there for a number of years.
Defensively, what do you see? Looks like a mirror, right?
Yes.
Same as what you guys do?
It looks very similar to our defense. The one thing that is a little different is – when they press and attack wideouts, they're not as physical and try to jam and be trail coverage like we do some. They will press and more of open up, hand on the hip, run with you, just from an outsider looking in. But the secondary configurations, several of the coverages, what they're trying to get to, they're 50% man, a lot of like what you see with our defense.
And then there's the blue turf, which is unique. Have you talked to the guys about that? Do you just choose to ignore it? I mean, because it is a thing. So how have you handled that?
We discussed it. I talked to them about it Sunday before they – I mean, a Saturday before they left after the game. Brought it up Sunday and real quick on Tuesday, but that was it. After that, it's all good. And you know, I was telling you earlier, it's kind of like Gene Hackman in Hoosiers. You know, you show them, and, hey, the turf might be blue, but it's 52.5 wide. It's 120 long. There's going to be 11 on both teams out there at one time. So we'll go by there and look at it on Friday, let them walk around, and let them take some pictures. I'm guessing it should be a nice setting there. There's probably some terrain, and take some nice pictures and stuff. Let them enjoy the trip to Idaho and get a feel for that. And then when we come back on Saturday, they ought to have all that off their plate.
Stay with us. When we come back, Jessica Morey has a chat with OSU Athletic Director Chad Weiberg. It's time for Ask the Coach, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Hey, Coach Gundy, this is Blair. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Yes, I love pineapple on pizza. I get a supreme and I sub pineapple for onion. And then I will sub sun-dried tomatoes for olives.
Welcome back to the Orange Power Podcast. I'm Jessica Morey, and I am joined by Athletic Director Chad Weiberg. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Hi, Jessica. Great to be here.
All right. So your first couple months here have been pretty insane. You had the NIL deals, COVID, and then the conference realignment. How have you just kind of been able to handle these past few months?
I think the combination of just one day at a time and then just having great people around you. I mean, it's certainly nothing that I would have been able to probably get through alone, nor would I have wanted to try to. But obviously had great leadership with Dr. Schramm, President Schramm. She was great through the conference realignment process, as was many people here in the athletic department and on our staff. Coaches were fantastic about, just being patient and providing that support and sort of that confidence that they have. They were great about telling me, you know, everything is going to be fine. We're here. It would have been a lot different without all of them. But as far as the NIL and those things, you know, we same thing, had a lot of great support from the staff and a lot of talent putting plans together. That was a little different. We didn't know at all what it was going to look like, but we did know that that was coming. So we knew that was something that we were going to be dealing with on July 1 or starting on July 1. And so, overall, it is a very transformative time in college athletics. And again, a lot of it we knew was coming. Nothing replaces having really smart, talented people on your team to, you know, put plans together and execute plans and get through those things. So that's certainly how I've been able to manage it, is just one day at a time, working through the process with our great people.
And now that the Big 12 has added four new members with BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston, have you kind of been able to take a little bit of a breather just because now that's kind of set in stone? Have you been able to kind of take a little break or enjoy some time off at all with your family?
Well, not yet. That's, partially just because it just happened. So hopefully we'll get there. This time of year is not a time to take any breaks anyway. We'd be going pretty quick speed right now in the middle of football season soccer season and ramping up for all the other sports to start. So, you know, now is when everyone is busy in college athletics. That certainly was a part of it. I think the best part of kind of getting to where we are, the announcement coming out, was that now we have certainty with how we are going to move forward. There's still a lot of details to be worked through on exactly what that will look like. But now we've got time to work on those things. But we know at least who's going to be with us and that we will be together and we are moving forward. And so I think it was the uncertainty, I think, that was probably the most potentially damaging to us. And so to be able to shorten the time frame of that uncertainty and now have certainty with how we're moving forward is really good.
And how do you feel like those four additions to the conference are going to benefit OSU positively?
Yeah, I think that those were four really good additions. As we, you know, I give Commissioner Bowlesby a lot of credit. Obviously, the board, the presidents and chancellors of the Big 12 Conference, I think, did a great job you know, putting the options together, putting those in front of us. And I think it was, as we worked through that, it seemed pretty clear what the right you know, options were for us, and they are four great institutions. All of them are large institutions. I think they all have a larger enrollment than Oklahoma State does. They all have great athletic history and success. They have good fan bases, and so I think they will be really good additions. You know, in that process, we obviously added several states to our mix and even added a time zone to our mix. So I think for a lot of reasons it will be good for not only Oklahoma State, but the entire Big 12 Conference.
Yeah, and you're able to reach an even bigger television market, which was extremely important, 75 million more potential audience members to watch the Big 12. You know, how does that just make the Big 12 stronger from a TV market standpoint?
Well, I think it does. Obviously, we'll see. You know, we won't know exactly what that looks like until we get into the TV contract negotiations in the coming years here. But I think what we learned in this round as well is that, you know, 10 years ago, it was very much driven by the size of your market and the cable household viewership and those sorts of things. What seems to have happened in that time is that now it has become more about the strength of your brand. And I think a lot of that is because people are consuming media in a very different way than they were 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And so, and I think that is good news for Oklahoma State because we do have a strong brand. The work that's been done here over the last 15 years has put us in a really good position. You know, starting with Mr. Pickens' transformational contribution to the football stadium and what that did in terms of providing us the ability to compete and to generate revenue, and all of those things are important in terms of competition. Obviously, Coach Holder, you know, has done a great job of managing our financial affairs and getting additional gifts and building our facilities across the board. And then having great coaches. And again, I've talked a lot about the job that Coach Gundy's done in his time as the head coach here at Oklahoma State and the accolades that he has, you know, just the consistent success that we've had. I think, you know, being in the top 12 in the number of wins, being one of only 10 Power 5 football programs that have won over 100 games since 2010, being one of only three football programs that have gone to has had 15 consecutive winning seasons and gone to a bowl game in each of the last 15 years. You know, those all position our brand in a really, really good place. And what we saw, I think, in this round is that is important. And I think that will continue to be important moving forward. And so adding markets and all of that, I think, certainly help. Adding fan bases certainly help. Adding time zones certainly help. But I think there's nothing that's more important than just the strength of your brand.
And you mentioned the football brand. The basketball brand is growing, continuing to grow here with Mike Boynton and obviously with Cade Cunningham going number one overall in the NBA draft. People are starting to talk more about Oklahoma State basketball. The Big 12 is already a crazy good basketball conference, but now adding these four schools in is going to make it probably, if not the hardest basketball conference, you know, in the country. You come from a basketball family. You're a basketball fan. How exciting is that for you to know you're going to get to watch some really good basketball here?
Yeah, well, I can remember, you know, back in the mid to late 90s, you know, after the Big 12 came together originally, you know, became pretty clear pretty quickly that it was a really good basketball league as well as a football league. And you know, just in the recent years, I think we've been pretty consistently ranked as the number one power conference across the board in basketball. And I think certainly with the addition of these four schools, yes, that just got better, or stronger or tougher, or whatever perspective you want to look at it. But again, really good basketball brands, really good basketball teams, history, tradition, fans. So I think it will be a great thing for basketball, but I think it'll be a great thing for all of our sports. I mean, BYU, you know, came here and won the national championship in women's cross country just last year, you know, when we hosted it here at our cross country course. So a lot of success and a lot of history and across the board, and with the addition of those four teams, and then adding it to the obviously the history and tradition that not only we have, but the seven other schools from the Big 12 as well.
And let's talk a little bit more, transition into some NIL talk. Obviously, the deal, the partnership with Influencer has been great for all of our student athletes, and they've really seemed to enjoy it, and they're getting all kinds of deals and things like that. And we just partnered with the Brander Group. Can you kind of go into detail about how that, you know, what can fans, what do they need to know about this group?
Well, first of all, you know, we're all still learning through this process. Again, it was new to all of us July 1st. There weren't a lot of parameters or guidelines or anything laid out for any of us. And so I think all institutions are working through the best way to capitalize off of this. And I think the student athletes are still learning, too. And so that is a lot about a lot of what we are trying to do is provide them the tools to learn how to do this. And Influencer was obviously a big part of that from the beginning. The Brander Group that we just partnered with is an exciting addition to that, because what the Brander Group will do is sort of group licensing. So instead of each individual student athlete having to work out their own deals, they can sign up with the Brander Group, and I think there is a lot of efficiencies in that. I think there is that is something that you know, sponsors will be interested in looking at, is how can I get engaged with more than one student athlete. But what that does, I think, too, is it allows the student athletes through Brander, through that arrangement, a lot of that will be co-branded with the OSU brand. And so in terms of apparel, you know, now we'll be able to have branded apparel with student athletes' names on it, numbers, you know, that sort of thing, if they choose to sign on with Brander. Trading cards, video game, you know, all of those kinds of things. I think this is what helps open the door to that. And so it is a win-win, not only for our student athletes, but it's a way that our fans can engage with our student athletes in this process and support them.
And speaking of, besides Influencer and Brander, the Spears School of Business here at Oklahoma State has also been super helpful with the NIL, going through everything. And you're a Spears graduate. What's it like getting to see that partnership, you know, flourish?
Yeah, it's amazing. So we early on were able to, and I give our staff a lot of credit for this, Stephen Howard, Kevin Clintworth, but they met with Dr. Mary Beth Kusmeski at the Spears School of Entrepreneurship. And, you know, started walking her through NIL and thinking that there would have to be a lot of, you know, bringing her up to speed on that. Well, turns out she has a son that is a just graduated student athlete. So she was all over it, knew all about it. and she's fantastic. She is an expert in the field of marketing, and so we've partnered through her with the Spear School of Business, and she's going to bring not only all of her expertise to the table for our student athletes, but then she's got students that she has, you know, that she's going to ask to help with this, and I think she's calling it the brand squad. Yes, that's right. I just learned about this last night, in fact, and I was very excited to hear it. And you know, I think that's just this is a really good example of being on a university campus like Oklahoma State. We have experts all over campus. And I'd like to think that we do a good job of reaching out and partnering with the experts on our campus. But this is a great example of just that. Is we needed help with something, and there were people right here on our own campus that there was probably no one better that we could have partnered with and have made that connection. And Dr. Kuzmeski came and spoke to a group of our student athletes last night, and I was fortunate enough to be able to sit in and listen on that, and she did a fantastic job. I learned a lot. I think they learned a lot. I think they will go out and tell their teammates about all the things they learned, and so I think as we continue to do this, it's only going to get better, and I think eventually this will be like everything else, whether it's conference alignment or the transfer portal, whatever it is it's new until it's not new anymore. And we'll go on to the next thing, and this will become just kind of how we do things, and I think we'll end up being really good for student athletes.
And you talked about partnering. The student athletes will now have the opportunity to meet one-on-one with her students at the Spear School of Entrepreneurship.
The brand squad.
The brand squad. Yes, yep. Exactly. And just, have you heard of any other schools doing that? That seems pretty unique to have a student athlete be able to meet one-on-one with someone whose expertise is in marketing and can help them.
Yeah, I have not. I don't know how closely I'm following what other schools are doing at this point, but I have not heard anything like that yet. I suspect we all try to benchmark a little bit on good ideas, and you know, honestly, hopefully if somebody sees what we're doing and they think it's a good idea and they can replicate it on their campuses, I think that's great, because it's good for their student athletes as well, and that is in the end what we're here for, is you know, to provide great experiences for our student athletes. And you know, the other thing that we talked a little bit about last night is, you know, this is a great opportunity for our student athletes to learn things that will benefit them, you know, beyond their time of playing, whenever that is. You know, because they're in a lot of ways able to start their own businesses right now. They're dealing with contracts and those types of things that, you know, I certainly wasn't doing when I was a freshman or sophomore, or, you know, maybe even a junior in college. You know, you didn't have that kind of practical experience yet. Well, this gives them the ability to have that kind of practical experience while they're still here in school, that I think will help them in whatever it is they choose to do, you know, once they leave campus.
Yeah, exactly. I think even if there's guys that maybe aren't the marquee guys, they're still able to learn and get this information and tailor it to how it can help them succeed, even maybe without necessarily the name recognition, if there's something else, right, you know, that they're good at, or that anything else that they can market. You know, there's so many different ways that they can utilize that. So
absolutely,
I think that's awesome. And then lastly, we'll touch a little bit on the facilities upgrades that we recently announced.
Yes.
You know, the new wrestling locker room.
Yes.
All sorts of other amenities being upgraded around OSU athletics. What can you kind of tell us about that, and how exciting is that for Oklahoma State?
Well, it's just it's important. You know, we talk about facilities being a key piece of what it is that we do. Again, number one, for the student athlete experience, giving them the ability to train and develop and be ready to compete at the highest level, and the facilities are an important part of that. It's important for coaches to have those tools in their tool chest to be able to recruit and attract the best talent. So it's always something that is going to be important to us. It's not possible without great donors and supporters that are willing to step up and make those things possible. Obviously, Oklahoma State has a great history and tradition of having people like the Greenwoods and the Pattersons and the Obrates and the Smiths and obviously Mr. Pickens, you know, step up and do those kinds of things. And And so this is what we just announced today in the wrestling locker room, that the donors choosing to remain anonymous at this point, but nonetheless is very passionate about being able to step out there. And, you know, first of all, I think one of the things that he and his wife wanted to do was at this moment in time, and when we were working through the finalization of this gift, we were in the middle of the conference realignment, uncertainty that we talked about earlier. And one of the things that he wanted to do with his gift is just to kind of show that resolve and show that it didn't matter where it was that we were going or where we were going to end up, is that he was here, he was supporting the Cowboys, and in this case, the Cowboy Wrestling Program and the OSU Athletic Department. And so he made the commitment and wanted it to go towards enhancing the wrestling locker room facility. They've got great space in terms of square footage, but it is not hasn't been very well developed. It's been several different things through the years, and so their gift will give us the ability to go in and make that as nice a locker room as any of our teams have, football, basketball, soccer, you know. So it is, in a lot of ways, it is wrestling's their turn in that regard. And so we're excited to be able to announce that facility. And we've got a lot of things coming up planned. So we did, obviously, the Regents announced us being able to move forward with some facility renovations here in the football stadium that will impact their locker room. It's hard to believe, but we're 13, 14 years into the West End Zone, and so it's time for an upgrade there. It's been well taken care of. The team does a great job of taking care of it, but nonetheless, it is used and worn, and things change, and so we need to keep up with the times. And so we'll do a remodel of the locker room, and then we'll work on some of the recruiting aspects of the West End Zone here. And again, that is something that looks very different, just the way we recruit now, the time that we recruit now, the rules under which we recruit now are completely different than they were 14 or 15 years ago when we built the West End Zone. And so we've got to make some adjustments with our physical structure and able to change with those times and take advantage of what we can do now. So those are two things here with football that we will do in the very short term. Obviously have planning going on for other things in the long term as it relates to football. We also got approved, and this was something that was made possible by donors, but to enhance the playing surface at Cowgirl Stadium for softball. Again, that field is of the old technology, is what I'd like to call it. It doesn't drain like
very well. Yeah, we saw that during, yes, we during did. The postseason, yep. So and this will be great.
Yeah, it will. So, and it is, you know, player safety issue. So, and also just, you know, so that we don't get rain outs and those sorts of things. So I think that will be a great addition too. And again, was made possible by donors stepping up and helping us with that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know being out there when it was raining during the postseason, and that was tough. But yeah, that's going to be great for them, and that'll be good when they get to host lots of postseason tournaments here. So
yes,
that will be
that will be great. We count on that. We're planning on that.
Yes.
And Jessica, I think, you know, that these are, you know, as I say, these will always be ongoing things, and we are constantly talking about our facilities and planning what's next and what those things may look like. And we continue to do that and continue to have conversations with our great supporters about helping us with those things. And we are very fortunate again that we have a supportive administration, Dr. Schramm and her team on campus. So we will continue to, move the ball forward with our facility so that we can remain competitive in the Big 12 moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to you know, just looking at all of our facilities, it's so impressive to see, you know, I think when visiting teams come playing at Neil Patterson Stadium,
yes.
I mean, an unbelievable soccer facility yep. there with the big board and everything. And then, of course, Obrate Stadium. You can't beat Obrate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's yeah. just a fantastic stadium. And tennis and everything is just so great here. So,
We have amazing facilities. We do. And, again, it goes back to all the donors and Coach Holder and his vision. And I think I've talked about, you know, the best thing that we can do to honor their legacy is to continue, you know, and because if you're standing still, you're falling behind in the facilities race, if you will. And so it's important for us to continue to move forward with it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see all of the changes here. It's going to be a good time here at Oklahoma State. So thank you so much for joining me. That
thank
is Athletic Director Chad Weiberg. Thank you for listening and watching the Orange Power Podcast. We will see you right here next week.